Hello, everybody. Madge Weinstein on location with Yeast Radio here in Brooklyn, New York. I am on location in Williamsburg, the home of trendy yuppies. And I am here with a very famous underground filmmaker, the founder of the Cinema for Transgression, Nick Zedd. And we are going to talk about various topics ranging from the films he's made to the issue of politics and, most importantly, whether or not vaginal yeast is worse than breast cancer. But I'm going to let Nick steer the conversation so that he can talk about whatever he wants. And if that comes to a lull, then I'll suggest a topic. But first, I was going to ask you about your films. Would you care to can you briefly go over your history and the films you made, and then sort of a, what do you call it, a retrospective, if you can, and tell us the names of the films? Because a lot of people that listen to this are from other countries. New Zealand, we have people in New Zealand, because a lot of people that listen to lesbians aren't Americans, because Americans pretty much think I'm, they take me for face value and they're morons. So I'm more focused towards the international audience. So if you could sort of explain yourself for the people that may not have been aware of what's going on.
Well, if I was really famous, everyone would know what my movies were, but I would say I'm notorious. I made a film called They Eat Scum years ago, and then I've done other movies like War is Menstrual Envy, Police State, Why Do You Exist, Lord of the Cock Rings, and most recently, Electra Elf, which is a superhero TV series. Many of my actresses are people like Annie Sprinkle, Kemba Faller, Reverend Jen, Lydia Lunch, Richard Hell, a lot of people from the underground film scene.
Okay, what? I'm curious about some of the people, because I was just listening to, I just found an album in the used record store. I can't remember the name of it, but it had some recordings of, it was from the early 80s. It had recordings of Lydia Lunch and Richard Hell, among other people. Now, they were doing some bit where she was, they were together talking about something that smells bad and they don't know what it is. Do you remember that or no? But what was it like working for Lydia Lunch, and can you explain that? Or,
well, I didn't work for her, but she was in. Do we want to redo the question? Or?
If you want to, we can.
No.
For the accent?
No. Oh. It's okay.
It's all right.
I forgot. What was the question?
I said, what was it like? I've said without my, when I'm in New York, sometimes I forget that I have a New York accent, and I seem to have left it in the bathroom. But what I said is, what was it like working with, I meant to say with, Lydia Lunch, and what was your experience working with her like? Did you learn anything, or did you, whatever.
I learned that I could use cassette tape that she sent me before I shot the movie without even hearing it. When I returned to New York after shooting the movie in Super 8, I realized it would make a good soundtrack. It was a letter she wrote informing me about the fact that we were going to break up, which I didn't realize. And I was able to shoot some good footage in Ireland with some burned out castles, and this of course is ancient history, since I have more recent work that's of vastly more interest to myself.
Okay, and I forgot what I was going to say. Oh yeah, I wanted to mention to the gentle audience who may not know this, but you have a book, hopefully it's still for sale on Amazon, called Totem of the Depraved, and you go through in great detail about these relationships with these people. And it's very interesting to talk about, because these are all people that had a lot of influence on our culture. A lot of things that were adopted by mainstream culture and recycled and turned into shit. But it's interesting to see where these mainstream concepts came from, from Nick. And I would like to talk more about your relationship with Reverend Jen and the films you're making now. What you're working on, particularly the Electra Elf. I wanted to see this. I haven't seen this yet because I was only given an opportunity to see it with the sound turned off and being told not to like it. which is, you know, basically what happens with the underground film festivals. But that's another issue. But you can talk about how much they suck if you want. But I'm particularly interested in what you're doing now with Elektra Elf, about Reverend Jen. What's she doing? And that sort of stuff.
That's a brochure. I got tired of constantly finding myself or finding my work rejected or reassessed by people who at one time thought I was fashionable and trendy. When I would change the direction of my work, I would suddenly find barriers being put up. And this happened with the so-called underground film festivals, who decided that in order to be underground, you have to have a lot of S&M, drag queens, erect penises, vaginas, apparently, which I don't have an aversion to. It's just that I thought it might be interesting to do something completely G-rated with fetish for spandex. And I recently discovered that there's a whole subculture of perverts. Well, not, I don't know. I don't usually use that term to describe people, except for those in our government. I guess fetishists who are turned on by the sight of superheroines in spandex getting wedgies. I didn't realize this until I went on the internet last night and discovered this. It was a fascinating development, which I'm going to try and integrate into each episode. In most of the episodes, the whole purpose of Elektra Elf really is to subject Reverend Jen to torture and physical abuse in the course of her adventures, in which she fights the activities of nefarious forces in society, among them landlords, corrupt politicians, and Christian fundamentalists. We have shot thus far 10 episodes and are completing new ones as we speak.
Thank you. And I'd also like to mention that, and I don't know, assuming this is okay, but that if people want to sponsor your show in their local cable access areas, they can by writing you. What email should I use? Oh.
That's MrNickZed@yahoo.com. I became interested in going on public access television due to the fact that these underground, so-called underground film festivals were rejecting my current work because it was too clean. I then got on the air on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which you can watch on streaming videos Monday nights at 8:30 p.m. And I think the strange part is that I'm probably reaching a wider audience now. In fact, according to my cameraman, it could be 7 million people. But they don't do Nielsen ratings for public access, so there's no way to really know how many people are watching. But it's, I'm sure, more than are going to these underground film festivals. But, yeah, including around the country, there are these public access stations which people locally could sponsor, and I could supply them with episodes that they could then get on the air if anyone cares.
I'd like to talk about your views on politics, because you have a lot of very strong opinions about what's going on in the world, and certainly the superficial aspects of people, especially in this country. And what I'd like to, I don't know if this would be a starting point to talk about, if we could talk about this incident with you being a writer at the local, can we talk about that? Okay, because you were explaining to me at our lovely dinner at the Kellogg Diner, where the waitress rushed us out and said, could you please check out now? And then she forgot to give us the check. And I called her a cunt. No, I didn't. I wanted to. I thought it, though. But then I lost the check. Anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, the could you tell that story that you were telling me? And then I thought that was a nice way to bridge into what's going on as to what people consider important.
Well, I was asked to write an article about a place called Saldo Drugs by this magazine called 11211, which sends writers around reviewing gift shops and stores in the neighborhood. Now, finding this subject to be somewhat mundane, I was motivated by the 5 cents a word I was going to be paid. And I went over there, and with my notepad, I was writing down the prices of all the products in the store, which I didn't think was that noteworthy, but the one of the customers noticed me, an elderly, somewhat overweight woman who was complaining about her medical condition to the pharmacist, who I noticed had a skin condition that made him look like a Dalmatian. Upon noticing me, she said to him, there's a lot of weirdos here. And he then came out from behind the counter and said, can I help you, sir? And my response was no, and I walked out. This resulted in, upon publication of the article in which I described his appearance, outrage from the pharmacist and the local paper known as the Greenpoint Star, who splashed on the front page a denunciation of my writing called Informing or Inflaming in a somewhat lame parody of a National Enquirer piece. They quoted Attorney General Elliot Spitzer, who claimed that my writing was shameful and tasteless. Apparently, the pharmacist contacted the local community board, and letters were written to the ACLU and the Office of the Attorney General to determine whether a hate crime had been committed in my use of adjectives. Hoping to create a chilling effect, they contacted the local businesses in an attempt to start a boycott against the magazine for which I write. This, to me, is anti-American. Unfortunately for them, there's a document known as the Constitution, a subversive document that protected my freedom of speech. Therefore, I'll continue to write articles in which I criticize whatever I want, since I have no social responsibility whatsoever, and I enjoy pissing people off.
Good. And can I give out the live journal address where you write, or no?
Sure.
Okay, Nick has a live journal, a weblog at at livejournal.com/users/NickZed. It's one word, right? There's no hyphen. NickZed, two D's, live journal. And what do you think about this? The lack of sense of humor, because your incident sort of parallels the one that the gentle audience already knows about, sort of this misunderstanding of lesbians thinking that I really think that breast cancer is worse than vaginal yeast, when in fact I really think vaginal yeast is worse. And they just don't understand that their vaginas itch. But for some reason, when we talk about things like why 100 million people don't have health care, they don't seem to care. So if you could address this issue of the American public and the sense of humor.
I think ridicule is an important factor in liberating us, and we seem to be living in a kind of uptight era epitomized by the hypocrisy of the Bush crime family. But then again, America is all about hypocrisy. If we examine the history of this country, in 1637, English and Dutch militia massacred 700 Pequot Indians who gathered to celebrate the annual Green Corn Dance on the Mystic River in what is now Connecticut. Massachusetts Governor William Bradford called for America's first official day of Thanksgiving to celebrate the victory. So ever since then, we've been celebrating Thanksgiving based on a massacre of Indians. There are many examples of hypocrisy in this country. For instance, Abe Lincoln was gay. He had a lover. His name was Joshua Speed. And Lincoln sent him love letters, which he would end with "yours forever." He slept with him for 4 years in a small bed. And just because he got a wife and had children doesn't mean he wasn't a closet case. This should be reminded to the Christian Reconstructionists, the fundamentalist lunatics who are behind the Republican Party. I think also probably Jesus Christ is gay, although I'm sure that Christ didn't even exist. But the fact that he had those 12 apostles with him and never had a girlfriend.
What about Mary Magdalene? Wasn't she a girlfriend?
No, she was a hooker, but he didn't have sex with her.
Oh, so she was, in a sense, a fag hag, is what you're saying.
Yes, and a whore. Apparently, these people are the ones that are being denounced by the Christian fundamentalists.
Right. I had a fantasy of eating out Mary Magdalene's ass, but I couldn't get to it, obviously, because she doesn't exist, if she ever did. But I'm curious, because you bring this up about Jesus and existence. What I've been trying to figure out all my life is how this Bible thing came. I mean, at what point, I mean, certain things, I mean, it's obviously fiction. Is there something that's going on today that's going to become the Bible of 2,000 years from now? I mean, where does this crap come from, and how does it make sense that Jesus saved us by dying on a cross and getting nailed? I just have never understood that concept for the life of me, and I don't understand why millions of people believe that somebody could get crucified and somehow instantly forgive the future of zillions of people sinning.
Well, even if, in fact, we buy this thesis, if we did, then we're already forgiven for all our sins, and we can commit the sins. But the Christ myth was basically cobbled together from other myths like Hercules, Hare Krishna, and some other fictions by some itinerant peasants wandering around in the desert hundreds of, or thousands of years ago. In the future, we'll probably have myths based on Princess Di and Mother Teresa, who will probably be combined into one saintly figure that's worshipped. But I also think probably in the future, the American flag is going to be seen as a symbol of evil akin to the swastika once our empire is crushed and destroyed, which will probably come about through siphoning off of our funds in insane military adventures abroad that are designed to increase the profits of corporations like Halliburton and others in the Bush crime families who have lucrative business contracts in countries that they have illegally invaded in order to steal oil.
And I would like to ask this question, which is sort of something I don't understand, and I'd like to hear what you think about it. But why is Bush the president? How could this possibly happen? It just seems so preposterous in a free country that this could happen. And I just don't understand, which as much access as people have to information, how is this possible? And how can people still not see what a disaster it is for the entire world?
Well, he attained power through a gigantic mass deception. It was the most massive election fraud in the history of the world, and it occurred twice in 2000 and 2004. It was enabled after the stolen election of 2000, in which Gore capitulated after putting up a fight for a few weeks, unlike Kerry. In 2002, with the Help America Vote Act, which Tom DeLay and Dennis Hastert at the last minute removed from the legislation the part about having a paper trail with the electronic voting machines. This enabled them in 2002 to elect in Georgia Representative Saxby Chambliss, who beat Senator Max Cleland, a popular patriotic paraplegic senator, with a 49% to 44% lead, with no audit trail, even though exit polls had the results listed being completely flipped in the opposite direction. Once they got away with that, they were able to install these electronic voting machines in a lot of the swing states. So in the recent election, thanks to Diebold, ES&S, Sequoia, Hart, InterCivic, and Triad, ES&S being owned by Chuck Hagel, who was the first senator in 24 years to be elected in Nebraska, utilizing these machines in rigged elections. They were then able to install Bush through fraud, and also with the 2.68% spoilage rate, votes lost in heavily Hispanic areas, and 18,000 ballots in spoilage bins. There's so many votes that are uncounted in this country in our elections, and there were 20,000 provisional ballots uncounted. The exit polls, according to Zogby, had Kerry leading Bush. These exit polls were flipped. We had to look to the exit polls because that's the real sign of the way people voted. People don't stand in line for 12 hours to vote for an incumbent. And it's pretty obvious that Bush stole this election. Unfortunately, there wasn't massive resistance as occurred in the Ukraine, because, unfortunately, Kerry rolled over too soon, which is the problem with the Democratic Party, which, in my opinion, is dead. We don't have any real leadership from the so-called opposition. In fact, they're enablers of the Republican lunatics who were elected with the help of the Christian Reconstructionists who own the private corporations that run the electronic voting machines, and we're in deep shit. But eventually, I think this system's going to implode upon itself, and we will be faced with a civil war. Hopefully, a lot of these Christian lunatics will die in it, but unfortunately, a few of us will go along with them, unless we leave the country or get some guns.
Great. Now, I would like – I'm going to try and pull this up on the web from my website. My friend and I collaborated on a photo montage of several prominent Republicans, and we noticed a startling resemblance. And I'm trying to pull this up, so I'm stalling a little, but I want to know why they all have the same exact fat, bloated, bald head. If you look at and I know the gentle audience can see this if they go to my website, yeastradio.com, but I want to pull it up so you can see it too while we record this. Hold on. Yeast Radio. Gentle audience, this is when you can pee or you can decide that I'm disgusting and you don't like my show, but you'll listen to it anyway so that you complain about it. Or you can masturbate. Either way is fine. Okay, let's see here. This is a photo montage, and you'll notice the startling – take these goddamn headphones off – the startling similarities between these men. I can't figure this out, but I think that to me they look like they all have a large amount of estrogen in their bloodstream because they have this sort of female bloated face. Now, we're looking at Karl Rove, Penis Cheney, Jesse Helms, Kenneth Starr, and the only one that isn't completely bald because he wears a toupee is John Ashcroft. Why do you think they all have the same bloated, fat, ugly, estrogen-enriched head?
They're mutants. It's a genetic mutation caused by an excess of evil.
Thank you. That's what I thought. And then I'd also like to know if there's any hope. Now, I've said to my gentle audience before that – let me turn off the sound – so it doesn't feedback, that I have no hope for this country, that I gave up. And basically, I'm just watching the disaster happen the same way. But it's given me a profound sense of peace because I felt this. I felt ever since Reagan that I had no hope, you know, but or that it was looked terrible, that Reagan was, this terrible force, but that someday maybe it would end in the tyranny. And after the second Bush election, I just have lost all hope. And that's when I decided to come forward with Yeast Radio. But ever since then, I've had this profound sort of peace because I feel like it's the same kind of peace that a cancer victim has when they accept the fact that they're going to die. And I'd like you to comment, do you have any hope for this country or do you think it's just going to – I guess you sort of answered that about the Civil War, but I was wondering if you have any hope other than Civil War.
I hope that it will fall into the sea like Atlantis.
The whole country?
Well, especially the red states, I guess. But all the states are purple, of course, as we know, because we're bruised by the economic beating we've received at the hands of the Bush crime family. I don't believe that they are our leaders anyway. So when this criminal cartel goes down, it'll be a positive thing. I think that we need to pay more attention to the Hopi Indians who were stuck in the worst desert lands in this country and forced to find water where almost no one else could find it. And they would do a rain dance. They were laughed at by white civilization, but they have survived. So I think people like that are the ones who may survive this insanity. Of course, in 2012, it's supposed to be the end of history, according to the Mayan calendar. So we have to, wait and see.
Well, 2012 is a long time to wait, and but in the meanwhile, it sounds like from what you're saying that I can, since I am a lesbian, I can save myself by doing my goddess ritual, surrounding myself with patchouli-scented candles, masturbating, and putting my cat's litter box right next to my bathtub, and doing, of course, drum circles and hating men. So I'm going to go ahead and do that, but I wanted to mention one last thing. And then we can go into some last-minute plugs and stuff. I'd like to talk about Cunt Dulezi Lice. Now, she is a cunt, and I hate her. And I don't have anything else to say more constructive than that. I think she is an evil cunt from hell. Do you have anything more articulate to say about her than that?
Well, Ms. Rice gives herself away whenever she tells a lie. Her head starts to shake from left to right, and her voice starts to falter. We can find instructive uses for observation with many of these so-called leaders when we examine their behavior patterns and their lies give them away. Nixon also did this with the shifty eyes, and we should remember that even though he was reelected by a landslide, he was thrown out on his ass within 2 years and almost impeached. Impeachment, of course, is maybe a source of hope. Unfortunately, since there's so many Republicans in Congress, that will be difficult. But if it will finally be proven that the 9/11 attack was an inside job, that might be the determining factor. Although the real determining factor, of course, whether we get control of our own country again is to get rid of those electronic voting machines that are owned by private corporations run by Christian Reconstructionists. That's the number one job we got to do.
And you pointed out before on the weblog that there's a voting, I think it's called blackboxvoting.com. .org, sorry, blackboxvoting.org. And on there, you can actually download. Now, I do have a close friend who is not a lesbian, but he is a database programmer. And he told me that you can actually download the actual data on there, samples of the data, and you can look at it yourself and see, you know, if you have a database reference that you can understand that, you know, they're really, you can analyze the evidence yourself. The problem with these is that, first of all, there's no audit trail, and secondly, it's not open source. And many people in this podcasting environment know that the only way programming is going anywhere is with open source. Good programmers will not, at this point, go work for a company with closed code because they're only interested in open source. That's why Apple's using open source. That's why Google and Amazon, all these big successful companies are based on open source because it's public domain code. And that's why IBM 2 weeks ago gave away 500 patents to the public domain. So certainly in a situation where the voting is controlled by the government, I couldn't think of a better case for open source than voting. So this is clearly a scam. Plus there was the case where I believe the some people were prosecuted who worked or attempted to – that they posted – somebody posted some inside memos from Diebold saying that explaining sort of the lack of audit trail. Do you remember any of this? These lawyers or the Diebold tried to come at them with the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, but they couldn't take them down. So I believe blackboxvoting.org still has links to this. So this is something worth checking out. It's, again, I suggest finding out for yourself. Don't take our word for it. Just look at the evidence yourself. Take the time to doing it instead of watching what's that goddamn show? Desperate Housewives. What's the other crap? SpongeBob and SquarePants with your twat kids that are growing up to be assholes just like you.
SpongeBob's gay, did you hear? Yeah. SpongeBob is a homosexual too, according to the Christian Coalition, even though he has a girlfriend. So everybody's homosexual.
He's too fat though. He's not, and he's got so many pockmarks. I don't know that he would get along well at the gay bars, but okay. To each his own. He can be a bear. Anyway, so that's about it. We really appreciate your coming by, and I'd like to ask if there's any sort of plugs or anything you'd like to part with, any sort of information. Your website, we haven't talked about that. So here you go with that, and then I'm going to close.
If any of you are interested in watching my current television series, The Adventures of Electra Elf, you don't have to live in New York. If you have a computer, you can go on streaming video at MNN.org Monday nights, 8:30 p.m. Click on channel 56. MNN, as in Manhattan Neighborhood Network.
Yeah, you want to talk about any books on your website for sale or movies or anything?
You can just go to nixed.com to see whatever products are available.
Okay, thank you very much for taking the time out on such short notice to talk with me, and my gentle audience looks forward to hearing you, I'm sure. Thank you very much. And thank you for Griselda for working the audio, even though she just sat here washing her hands.